Welcome to Storytime by Chava. We are continuing the book Once Upon a Journey, Volume 2 by Rabbi Zalman Ruderman, and we are up to Chapter 77, A Special Mission. Prince Ferdinand owned many estates. In addition to the properties he received from his father the king, he also inherited massive estates from a wealthy nobleman who did not have any children. The nobleman had been very fond of the young prince, and he had instructed that all of his lands be given to Ferdinand after the nobleman's death. As a result, Prince Ferdinand now owned fortresses, towns, villages, flour mills, inns, and much more, all of which had all belonged to the nobleman. These properties were managed by one man, a Jew named Reb Moshe. He had done such an excellent job of managing the nobleman's estates that the prince asked him to continue in his position after the nobleman's death. On one occasion, when Prince Ferdinand traveled to these estates, he met Reb Moshe the manager. Reb Moshe handed the prince papers detailing how each of the estates were being managed and the profits that were being earned from each of them. Reb Moshe and the prince then began to chat about other things. Reb Moshe was an exceptionally wise man. His sharp eyes were quick to notice things that other people would overlook. As they spoke, he could not help looking into the prince's eyes and noticing that the prince was trying to hide a deep sadness. "It seems that something is bothering your highness," Reb Moshe told his royal visitor. The prince was surprised at Reb Moshe's ability to sense his feelings. He knew that he could trust Reb Moshe to keep a secret, and he eventually told him about the secret deal he had made with his friend, the Archduke of Moravia. "In just a few weeks from now," the prince explained sadly, "we will reach the deadline for solving our impossible riddle. I am worried that my friend has already discovered the answer, while I still cannot get to the bottom of it. I will end up being his servant, and he will be my master." "Has your highness discussed this problem with experts in mathematics?" asked Reb Moshe. "Of course," replied the prince. "I have approached everyone I could. I met with the highest professors and mathematicians in the country. I've been searching high and low for someone who can solve this for months already, but it is an unusually difficult riddle." "Has your highness turned to the Jews?" Reb Moshe asked the prince. Ferdinand looked at his manager as if he had made the greatest joke ever. "The Jews, you say?" The prince spluttered with a grin spread across his entire face. "What do they know about anything? All they can do is wail and pray for their temple that was destroyed thousands of years ago. Do you really expect me to see if the Jews can solve a complicated scientific riddle? That's hilarious." Reb Moshe was stung by the prince's scorn. Nevertheless, he remained calm and spoke gently. "I am pained to say this," he told his employer, "but your highness is making a tragic mistake. You have been educated by people who hate the Jews for no reason at all. They twist the truth to fit their opinions and should not be believed. Yes, it is true that we bitterly mourn the loss of our house of God. We hope and pray at every moment to be redeemed by God and restored to our ancient homeland and holy temple. However, that does not take away the fact that we have countless wise men among us, many of whom are experts in both the Jewish Torah and the secular sciences." Ferdinand's jaw dropped in shock. He had never heard a Jew answer with such confidence in defense of his people. Most Jews would simply bow their heads in shame and fear. Reb Moshe, however, continued speaking. "Your Highness, it is my honor to have known you since you were a young child. I know that you are a truly good and honest person. I am therefore surprised that you allow yourself to mock an entire nation of people when you know precious little about them, their history, religion, and way of life. You know nothing about their vast treasures of wisdom and philosophy." The prince could not hold himself back at these words. "The Jews are corrupt," he shot back. "They all take bribes and they're all rich." Reb Moshe gave the prince a sad smile and shook his head. "No, your highness, that is simply another of the evil lies that you have been deliberately taught. Tell me, who did you say were all rich? The Jews? Oh, how I wish it were indeed so. Most of the Jews work terribly hard. They toil with their hands all day to earn a piece of dry bread. They barely keep their families from starving. Mind you, we are talking about people who are willing to do any type of honest work, however difficult and lowly, in order to survive. They struggle hard to feed their families and to avoid becoming a burden for their communities. The Jews think carefully about how they live their lives. They do not waste the little that they have. Whenever possible, they put aside some money for difficult times. They reach out and help each other with love. Ramesha paused for a moment. Gathering his courage, he looked directly into the prince's eyes and said, "In one way, however, the Jews do in fact act like rich people, in the amount of taxes that they are forced to pay. The tax burden that is placed on the Jews is so heavy and so much greater than all the other peoples of the kingdom that one can easily assume that they must be wealthy." The prince was shocked, but also deeply touched. He could sense that Ramesha was not simply repeating old excuses. His words had an unmistakable ring of truth. His words flowed from the depths of his heart. The usually calm and wise manager now poured out his pain at the injustice and suffering of his people. It was obvious that he was telling the truth. "Despite all this," Ramesha quickly added, "we do not complain to our rulers. Rather, we blame only ourselves for our difficulties and treatment. We constantly tell ourselves that we must have failed to return to the blessed Creator with all our hearts. We do not serve our God as well as we should, and as a result, we bring upon ourselves harsh and seemingly unfair decrees. God sends us these difficulties to soften our hearts and to guide us to improve our ways." Prince Ferdinand remained silent. He thought deeply about all the new things that he had just heard. Ramesha used the silence to make the suggestion that he originally had in mind. "There is a great Jewish rabbi in the city of Prague," he told the prince. "He is a giant in the knowledge of Torah. In addition, he is a true expert in the sciences. His name is Rav Yehuda Lowy, although the Jews also refer to him respectfully in writing by his Hebrew acronym, the Maharal. I am convinced that he will be able to solve the mathematical riddle that is disturbing your Highness's peace of mind." A flash of hope lit up the depressed prince's eyes. "Do you really think so?" he responded. "In that case, I appoint you as my messenger to travel to the rabbi. Go and tell him in my name that I invite him to my palace as my personal guest." "I apologize, Your Highness," Ramesha replied fearlessly. "It would not be appropriate to instruct such a great and holy man to come without any advance notice. I must first ask him whether he is willing to leave the place where he spends all his time in learning and davening. If he is willing, then I will be able to present Your Highness's request, politely and with due honor." The prince was shocked at this reply. He had never heard of a Jew demanding respect. However, instead of becoming insulted, the good-natured prince was now more curious than ever to meet this unusual person, the Maharal. Who was this rabbi who was so honored by his fellow Jews? "Tell me," asked the prince, "is he an elderly man, this rabbi that you speak of with such awe?" "No, Your Highness," replied Ramesha. "He is in the prime of his life. To the best of my knowledge, he is around 45 years old." "And who supports him?" the prince continued to ask. "Is it the Jewish community of Prague? If he is so well respected, I imagine they pay him an extremely high salary." "Yes, the Jewish community sets aside a respectable salary for the holy rabbi. However, the rabbi has chosen not to accept the money for his own use. He instructed the heads of the community to use the funds to support young men who devote their lives to the learning of our holy books, but who have no way to support themselves. As for the rabbi, he supports himself and his family without the help of the community. A number of years ago, he found himself two successful merchants and became their business partners. The first owns a large food store in Prague, and the other is a fur trader with business ties all across the country. This way, the rabbi earns enough to cover all his personal needs. He is free to spend his time as he wishes. He studies and prays at length and has authored a series of profound books. He also spends much time writing replies to the dozens of letters on all subjects that arrive at his door each month from near and distant countries." The prince was amazed by Ramesha's description of this incredible rabbi. He insisted that Ramesha travel to the Maharal on his behalf as soon as possible. Ramesha set off just a few days later. He met the Maharal, and with great respect, he repeated his entire conversation with the prince. He informed the tzaddik that the Archduke of Bohemia had personally invited him to his palace in order to help him solve his mathematical riddle.